Okay, well, so we're praying, we'll jump right in this lesson. Dear Yah, we bless you as always, and we just honor you for your presence. And right now we present ourselves to you. We seek wisdom and understanding from you. And we bless you in advance for it. And we just thank you for all things. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. I want to, I've been kind of giving warnings and things like that the past few weeks as far as training school was concerned, being a watchman and things like that. And so this is another warning to the church, and I hope you're encouraged from it. And what I love about these warnings, y'all love us enough to reveal to us things that we need to be aware of. And there are other scriptures. Matter of fact, let me just launch from here. I believe it's Psalms 105. I think it's Psalms 105. Let me make sure. It just came to mind. You know, y'all, there's nothing wrong with, you know, all my preachers and things like that. There's nothing wrong with preparing for a lesson and things like that. But I want to encourage you to study, just to study, to show yourself approved. And when Yah is ready, he'll give you a word. And because you understand the scriptures, then you know where he wants you to go. Let me search it. I was thinking Psalm 105, but I look like I may be either overlooking it or... it's 105. I was just overlooking. Right there in my face. Okay, I'll start at verse 14. And the reason why I want to start at verse 14 is because you get, I'll say, for lack of a better way to put it, you get preachers in general who will say, you know, y'all heard it, touch not mine anointing, you know, nor do my, you know, prophet any harm, or no harm, you know. First of all, we have to understand it within its contextual meaning. And then there is a perspective on these verses. You know, if I'm out of the will of Yah, then this verse doesn't apply. In other words, you don't allow me to get away with something just because I'm the preacher. We are our brother's keeper, and if I'm going astray, you know, my goal is to make it in. If I'm going astray and somebody see I'm going astray, help me out, you know. I encourage you to do it from a perspective of the way that I approached my pastor back in the day. I just did it, respectfully, but in a manner that allowed him to not be degraded and stuff like that. Just approach it from that perspective. And I think I just think we should just have that mindset in general. Everything we do should be designed to win the brother, and that's not a gender when I say that, to win the brother, not to lose the brother. Okay. And so when you look at it here, verse 14 lets us know who are his anointed. And and from that perspective, we will just deal with some things, and I'll give the warning. Again, Psalms 105 verse 14 said, "He suffered no man to do them wrong." I'm just trying to see. Let's just go up, okay? Verse, man, it's just so much good stuff when I go up. I'm just starting verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto Yah. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek Yah. For seek to Yah, verse 4, seek Yah and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works that he has done, his wonders and his and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen. We are the servants of Yah as the seed of Abraham, and we are the chosen as the children of Jacob, or as we know, Israel. Okay. Verse 7 said, he is Yah our God. The God of heaven is our God personally. Now, he's not limited to being the God of mankind, but when you look at the scriptures, he's specifically the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all those who follow his laws, statutes, and judgments. Can claim him as their God, obviously, but at the same time, he came to our people when we were but a few in numbers, and so he's our God. We are the seed, we are his servant, we are his chosen. Okay, that's a mighty awesome privilege to be in. And what's so awesome about it is the fact that, you know, and I'm just saying it from a personal perspective, and I know it'll bear witness with the rest of you. I never had a problem with him, another people being his chosen people. And I always prayed for the peace in Jerusalem when I was ignorant to the fact that that was my homeland. I constantly prayed for the peace in Jerusalem. I was like, Lord, bless those people, you know. But to find out that, you know, we're the people, it just puts it in a whole different perspective, and it's a humbling experience. And to look at these scriptures is just bring joy to know that the Creator of all things identify us as his servant and his chosen. That's a privilege to walk in. And our goal should always be to make sure we honor him in the privilege that he's bestowed upon us. That's an awesome position. You know, you know, y'all, I mean, if we all be honest. Okay, go ahead, Mom. Go ahead.
I read the Bible through one time. So since I've been in this ministry, I started reading it again, and it's like a whole different experience now. Because when I read it, I know those are my people. His people are my people. It's just a whole different perspective knowing that.
Now, that makes you pay more attention, too.
Yes.
Because you're looking at your history, and so instead of just going through the scriptures and reading it like it's a novel or something like that, you're looking at it because you're like, okay, whatever's going on in here is me. These are my people, and this is what happened. You know, I was reading. I'm in the book of Daniel now. You know, in my readings, in my studying. So, I was looking at one of the books. And what y'all was describing, and I was just sitting up here, I was moaning and groaning because I was just saying, why my people, man, you know, y'all was just reasoning with our nation, and Daniel was like, okay, you know, I brought you out. I did all these wonderful things for you. He said, now tell me any people, give me a name of any other nation. I'm paraphrasing what he said. Give me a name of any other nation who followed another God. In other words, he was saying all these other nations are faithful to their God that is nothing but wood and stone. And here you all have the living God who you've experienced and encountered, who brought you out with a mighty hand, and you went after the wood and stone. It just blew me away, and I was like, oh my God, you know. But at the same time, it's a fulfillment of the scriptures when we read it, and we become jealous about it, and we're constantly you know, because we understand these things, we're constantly repenting and saying, Lord, yeah, you know, forgive us as a people and stuff like that. I constantly say that when I read, because I see clearly the mistakes that we made as a nation. And I'm like, y'all, just help us get back. You know, just give us the wisdom to get back. And so it is, you know, so I agree with you on that. Every time I open that book, I'm reading about me, my people, you know. So it's different now. It is different. And so you know, to walk in that privilege, that honor of being a servant and the chosen of Yah is just a great privilege. It says, He is Yah, our God. That's personal. He's ours. We're sharing. He was ours first. He came to us as a people. He came to our fathers. He gave us the law. You know. And so it's just awesome. Verse 7, He is Yah, our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He has remembered His covenant forever. The word which He commanded to a thousand generations. We're experiencing that covenant, whether we realize it or not. We're experiencing the covenant from the blessing side or the curse side. It just depends. But we're experiencing that covenant to a thousand generations. He's faithful concerning that covenant. If you obey, this is what I'll do. If you disobey, then this is what I'll do. We're experiencing the disobedience of that covenant. So He's faithful to it. And that's another awesome mindset, just to let us know, if you know, since Yah is faithful to the curses, because we're seeing them being fulfilled for thousands of years, what about the blessings that we just changed, that we just turned from our wicked ways as a nation of people? He's going to do exactly what He said He was going to do in His covenant. You know, and those are just awesome thoughts to you know, to understand. Verse 9, which covenant He made with Abraham, and His oath unto Isaac, and He confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law. That's an established principle. When you look at the word law, verse 10, it says law, enactment, appointment, bound, commandment, decree, necessary, statute. So like I said, it's an established principle. What he put out there is exactly what's going to take place. Okay. He confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant. We're included. That's us. Saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan. It don't matter who's in it. It's ours. It doesn't matter. It's ours. Land of Canaan, lot of your inheritance. The lot of your inheritance. When they were but a few men in number, yeah, very few, and strangers in it. When they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people. He suffered no man to do them wrong. Yeah, He reproved kings for their sake. Remember, every time, you know, they try to get Sarah because she was beautiful. And y'all go to them kings, be like, hey, you're a dead man if you don't return Abraham back his wife. Y'all was reproving kings for our nation's sake. And then every time Abraham would leave, they would bless him with all this stuff. You know. We have that same covenant. He have the exact same covenant. Now, and so as we, verse 14, He suffered no man to do them wrong. Yeah, He reproved kings for their sake. Saying now, touch not mine anointed, we are Yah's anointed. We are Yah's anointed. David is Yah's anointed. The kings are Yah's anointed. Abraham was Yah's anointed. But when you look at what the scripture is saying here, we are also, as a nation as a whole, Yah's anointed. And Yah is saying, when you fall in line with me, nothing will harm you. When we look at these things, now we understand how our nation would go to war and not lose one. Because we were Yah's anointed, we were going to battle in His anointed, as the anointed. and Yah rebuked nations for our sake. Well, he includes it now. He says, touch not mine anointed, comma, and do my prophets no harm. So when you look at it from the contextual meaning here, we are the anointed and we are considered the prophets of Yah as a nation. Notice he said prophet, and so we can be specific as far as Jeremiah is concerned and different things like that. But when you look at who we are and what's up on us as a people, prophets and prophecies and things like that are being fulfilled with our nation. Now, verse 15, when you look at the word prophets, it says inspired men, but it says that prophesy. And you keep running it. It says to prophesy, speak, or sing by inspiration, in prediction, or simple discourse. So it's dealing with an actual prophet, but at the same time, it is a term. When you look at our nation, will sing. And so when you look at it according to how the scripture is pointing out who his anointed and who his prophets are, we as a nation as a whole are walking in the anointing and walking in the prophecy, or as prophets. We speak things as far as the future is concerned by mere presence. When you see all these generations and generations of nations, you know, nations for generations, generations trying to destroy us as a people, and were never able to pull it out, it's because prophecies had to be fulfilled through us. I said, touch them not, do them no harm. Now, here's the warning now. There are people whose primary goal is to do you harm. And there are certain things that we'll deal with as far as the scriptures are concerned, you know, especially when Christ talked about our foe being in our own household. I believe it's in Matthew. We'll look at that. Matthew 10. Matthew 10, verse, we'll just start at 32. Verse 32 says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I come to set a man at variance against his brother. Now, when you look at the word variance, it says to make apart, asunder. We run back on the word variance. It says twice. So we know there's a, it says two, to split, twain. Okay? So that's what that word variance mean. I lost my verse. 13. Okay. And so that's what that verse means. So he says, think not that I come to bring peace. Let's just look at the word peace. I just love studying words. When you look at the word peace, it says prosperity, rest. Okay. To join. So, to set one again. So one accord is peace. to kind of look at a word just to look at it. Just to, you know, help with the understanding of it. Think not that I am come to send one accord on earth. Here's the warning. It is not meant for you to get along with everybody. But there has been this false sense of Christianity that always put the followers of Christ in a compromising position of changing, you know, turning the cheek and just let it go and just get along, just, you know, love them with the love of the Lord. There's a perspective with those things, but the warning that I want to give you by the leading of the Spirit of Yah is that there is a time and a place for everything, and sometimes there's a season or there's a time when you be like, nah, time is up for that, because what Christ is letting us know in the scriptures is that he said, you need to understand that as a follower of me, let me go back up, whosoever, verse 32, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. So that's variance right there. So Christ said there are people who are at variance with me. That's what Christ is saying. There are people who are at variance with me. He said, and the people who are at variance with me, he said, I'll deny them just like they deny me. Those who are confessed, unified with me, he said, I acknowledge them as they have acknowledged me. Christ said he's like that. Now, I would be willing to bet, if I was a betting man, that Christ's Father is the same way. I'll be willing to bet, if I was a betting man, that Yah is exactly the same way. I would be willing to bet that that's what Christ got is that personality from. Because I can go back and look at our ancestors and see when our ancestors denied him and he said, well, you know what? I'll be faithful to myself. I'll let you go into captivity. You are my servant. You are my anointed. You are my prophets. But if you deny me, I'll deny you. So Christ starts to set it up. He said, first of all, let me tell you how I operate, church, you disciples, you followers of me. Let me tell you how I operate. Those who are at variance with me, so am I with them. That's a whole different perspective, ain't it now? Because church folks always, I can't say it that way, Lord, I saw it, but I don't want to say it. Church folks always kissing the rear end. He showed me, so that's how I got to say it. We always trying to run behind kissing somewhere. But Christ said, deny me, I deny you back. He said, matter of fact, let me educate you, disciples. He said, I didn't come for y'all to get along. If you're not following me, if some of you are following me and some of you are not, he said, I didn't come for y'all to get along. I never forget when mom, at mom's funeral service, I stood up and told the family, I said, look, we ain't gonna never get along till y'all get on the same page with y'all. And that stands true to this very day. I love them, But until we get on the same page, there is a sword between us. And we need to learn how to accept it. As long as our mind are going in a certain direction and their mind is going in a certain direction, it don't matter how much blood that's the same that run through your vein, there's still going to be some variance. In fact, some of your worst enemies are going to be your own family. And you got to take on the mindset of your Savior. You got to take on the mindset of the Father who gave that information to the Savior. He looked at his disciples. He said, "Behold my mother. Behold my brother. Behold my family. Those that do the will of my Father is my family." That old saying, blood is thicker than water. You better grow up from that.
That you're
using. What is it's a difference, but
I know it's different, but I was wondering if you could give it a different definition.
Let's look at it. Where did I go? Where did it go? Right here. Variance. It says to make a part. Remember, we dealt with the definition, but I just wanted to cover it again. To make a part. We went back further. It says twice, again, duo. So it's a separation.
Okay. So that particular reading is not per se different, but
to apart. Yeah. It's means apart. And we'll understand that from as we continue to read the verse. He said, I didn't come to verse 34. He says, "Think not that I come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword." What does a sword do? When it cut, what do you have? Pieces. Christ said, "I come with a sword. And I come to separate that which denies me from that that confess me." Now, as I said, that old saying, blood is thicker than water, we better grow up from that. Because that can come back to bite. Verse 33, again, you want me to take my time with this here. It says, "But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will also deny before my Father which is in heaven." You know that's a variance? You know that's a separation? Verse 32, go back up to that one. "Whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father." That's bringing together. That's unity. Then he starts to come down the list. And he starts to deal with family. Because he's letting us know, here it is, he's letting us know that family can get us in situations that we shouldn't be in. So when you start there, everything else just fall down, everything else fall into place. You start with family, because that's kind of like the primary situation. So if he said, "I'm going to go strictly to the top," and everything else is included. Verse 34, "Think not that I come to send peace on earth, but I come not to send peace, but a sword. For I come to set a man at variance against his father." Who? He didn't just come. He didn't just come for the Father and the Son not to get along. There's a mentality of the Father and there's a mentality of the Son. And if that mentality of the Father is different from the mentality of the Son from the perspective of following or confessing, then Christ said, "I'm going to divide that. I'm going to separate you." It amazes me how many people are saying in these days Man, I don't know why families just don't come together and do the stuff that they used to do. We used to have family reunions, and we used to all get together. We used to all go out to eat. We used to all just get around and just sit around and have fun. Time is up. Christ is setting a variance among those who follow and those who do not. It ain't gonna never be the same again. I had a cousin. I ain't gonna even say y'all bless her, cause she's just a variance. We're not on the same page. I confess y'all, she don't. And I ain't playing with it no more. We were invited to, and if you know who it is, I don't care. If you get back to her, I don't care. I'll send it to her. I don't care. But I already laid some things out already. We were invited to an event. My young cousin just graduated. And we were invited to the celebration of her, graduation party, for lack of a better way to put it. Well, honestly, I love my family, and I always want to try to support, especially the young ones. You know, she's getting ready to go to college. You know, I'm proud of her for that, and love her. She's just, she's just trying her best to do well. Well, there are issues going on within the family that goes all the way back to our grandparents. Grandparents made the separation, and it's that way to this very day. It is now has come up to a head, and I'm like, I ain't finna play with it no longer. I love my grandparents, but they made a difference. I didn't experience it, but my older siblings can tell it. I'm kind of like Joshua. Joshua got that mentality. It's just that he gonna be Joshua. He don't care what's going on with you. I was kind of the same way. So when I would see a lock on the refrigerator, because I lived in the same house, I would see a lock on the refrigerator, I just go unlock it. Y'all better stay out of the refrigerator. That's the first thing I'm going in. I'm Joshua. That's the first thing I'm going in. So it didn't affect me, but I remember the stories of my older siblings would talk about how we were treated as outcasts as far as all the grandkids were concerned. But I just never experienced it. It was just something going on with me. Like I said, I just never experienced it. I don't think Tonya did either. She was, younger than I. But it sowed a seed that has manifested to a full-grown tree. And that son of a gun ain't going to get cut down either. Because, I'll put it this way, the only thing going to deal with it is that sword that we're talking about now. But the sword is not to cut it down. The sword is to cut off the branches that don't belong on the tree. Oh, y'all got to hear me. There's some folks that are bloodline family that y'all is cutting off the tree, because they're not going in the same direction that y'all want to take the family. And they're never going to do it. Now, we can get religious, and we can get all, holding down and say, the Lord going to save them someday. No, some stuff, you can just see it clear, and you can see it for what it is. You can see Judas from day one. And you can think Judas going to get saved at the end, but then Judas going to have you, Judas going to save you out for 30 pieces of silver. You keep fooling with Judas, Judas is going to sell you out for 30 pieces of silver. I'm warning you. So we're invited to this event, and long story short, y'all revealed that it was a sit-up. Because their conflict with family members, but there's this one particular cousin who was trying to bring the conflict together to bring it up to a full head. Because there's some things that I said, and I'm gonna do, and there are some things that's been going on the other side from people been saying stuff and things like that. So she decided she was going to sit that stuff up. So she told one family member to come and then told us that the family member wasn't coming. And y'all spoke to me and said, don't come. And I told the rest of the family, don't go. Another family member showed up. That cousin, and she need to be exposed fully for what she was trying to do. She was trying to set up a conflict, and let me back and put it this way: she got a problem with both sides. So she decided, I'm gonna pour some gas in the middle of the floor, and I'm gonna throw a match in the middle of it and step back, put my hands in my pocket. But because Yah is leading, Yah said, touch not mine anointing. He said, Lon, keep your family away from there. You stay away from there. They were calling me on that Saturday. I wouldn't even answer the phone. But I called the mother of that cousin, laid some things out. I was like, hey, look here, this is what's going on. This is what y'all doing. We noticed that this happened quite a bit. We don't want to deal with you anymore. Yeah, we're first cousins, but I don't have to ever see you again. I understand what Christ has said in Matthew 10. He make a clear separation. And he said, Lon, you can keep being stupid if you want to. And I keep cutting it. I keep cutting it. And you can run over there and sew it up. And y'all know how we've done as a family and how y'all have done as family. You kept going trying to sew up that doggone bad piece of garment. Let's try it again. We family. Let's try to work it out. And I'll be doggone if every time we sew it up, the bottom fall out again. Just a matter of time. Why? What's the warning? It's time for you to let family go. That ain't on the same page with where you going. Because that family is going to cost you your soul. If they don't cost you your soul, they're going to cost you to get in a situation that you had no intentions of getting into. I decided on that day, I said, you know what, I got too much to do to be caught up into this. And I notice every time I deal with these group of people, there's always something. Do you have family members that every time they come around, it seems like something always going on? That one? That's the one I'm talking about. That's the sword right there. I made up my mind that the only way I see those folks again, if they confess. If they confess, then we'll be on the same page. If they confess Christ in sincerity and truth, now we can mend something. But until that sincerity and truth manifest, I don't have time. I got enough people who are confessing and love y'all enough to call family. I know this is not easy, but you got a decision to make. Verse 35, For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. This show close family ties, where he's saying this starts at close family ties. But you have to understand the reason why it's taking place is because the people are not on the same page as far as Christ is concerned. They don't follow the kingdom. You have one who's following the kingdom. You have someone who's not following the kingdom. I don't care how many times Jesus come out of their mouth. I see him on Facebook all the time. The Lord is so wonderful. Lord, don't bless me. I'm like, man, please. On that day, you're going to stand before him. You're going to say, get away from me, you work of iniquity. I never knew you. I'll let Jesus, you confess, and all that Lord is good, and he's a blessing, and all that. And, you know, And each one of y'all know who I'm talking about. I ain't got to tell you. As soon as I said that light turned on, boy, you start saying, oh, man. A man's foe, 36, shall be they of his own household. Your worst enemy is not a stranger. Your worst enemy know your middle name and call you by your nickname. My worst enemy know me as Lon Edward. They know me personally. My cousin know me personally. My mothers are sisters. Know each other like the back of our hand. That's the very one who's trying to set me up for destruction. Strangers are not even doing that to me. There may be some people that want to see something happen to me, but they didn't actually try to initiate something to pull it off, is what I'm saying. Oh, yes, a lot of people want me dead. But I don't know only one that tried to actually sit it up. And that was a family member. Verse 36, and I'm going to show you why it's so dangerous once I look at the word foe. The word foe is hateful. The person that hates you the most is in your own household. The one that's hostile towards you the most, think about it, is in your own household.
Sometimes.
Yes, it is.
And you know the reality of it is that it's true, mm-hmm.
but
that's still hard because, you know, that's not what family is supposed to be,
mm-hmm.
you know, from our natural perspective. And it's a hard place
yes.
to be in.
Yes. You know, every time I go around these people, I'm armed. I feel more comfortable being armed around these people than to be unarmed. But when I'm among strangers, I go to the restaurant, I leave in the car. But when I go around these people, I'm armed. It's on my hip. Because I got my family there with me. I got all my loved ones there. And I'm not having fun. Because I'm in protection mode the whole time. I'm not having fun. We laughing and going on, but I'm watching the whole time. Okay, where that crazy cousin just go? I wouldn't dare leave a drink sitting on the table. Open container. If I leave an open container, I'll come back to it. I will not drink it. It's going in the trash. Because I got some cousins around there that I know don't mean me no good. And they little buddies that hang around with them. Remember one time we were there and walked out the door. And I was the last one to go out. And I had run to the restroom and they didn't know. And as soon as they thought the last one of us had walked out the door, they started saying, yeah, y'all, we can party now. All the Christians gone. I said, They don't like us either. I'm telling you, that's what I heard. So next time around, we was like, we just made a little statement. Okay, Christians leaving. Y'all can have fun now. Holla. Let them know we heard y'all. Did y'all hear how sobering that is? I can go around strangers and feel more comfortable than I am around my own family. That is insane. No, it's a mentality. In other words, it's what the scripture says. The scripture says this. Let me find it here.
Spirits don't agree.
That's exactly it.
I mean, it
but I'm trying to see.
They from being taught and from seeing the family members, like the background, like when we were coming up, it was, we respect our aunties and our uncles. We didn't do certain things. We didn't say certain things. Even when they got on to us, you know, we was like, you know, but now it's like no respect. Oh, I'm grown now. I can say whatever I want to you, whatever. And it's said disrespectfully. It's not disagreeing in a respectful way. And then provocative dancing and all that kind of stuff. It's like the sky's the limit on bad behavior. It's not respectful anymore because they feel like I don't have to.
I believe it's found in 2 Corinthians 2 to answer this. Let me see. The scripture, I just can't remember where it is. The scripture points out that to basically in a nutshell, to believers, we are a sweet fragrance to one another. So when those who confess Christ, when we come around one another, it's a sweetness, it's a pleasure. But when we come around those who don't confess Him, we're a foul odor. And I think the word, I think the it's spelled, I think odor. It's not just odor. It's a weird spelling. I think that's what it is. Quoted. Let me type in without. I think it's without is in that verse. That's gonna give me a lot to look at. I think it's I just can't remember where it is. Type in one more time. The fragrance. I must have misspelled it. I just can't remember where it's quoted. But what the scripture says in a nutshell is like I had mentioned, to believers, when believers come together or fellowship, it's like a sweet smelling fragrance. But to those who are without, those who have no relationship with Yah, it's like we're a foul odor. Because us coming around in a nutshell points out or manifests that their doom is approaching. So when these type of people come across you, the reason why they can't stand you is because you remind them of their soon destruction.
2 Corinthians 2.
I had pulled that up. I guess I ran past that. Something gonna do. Okay. Yeah. Yep. That's it. It says for we are unto Yah a sweet savor of Christ. Now, and when you look at the word savior, it says good scentedness. See it? Good scentedness. So it's letting us know, for we are unto Yah a sweet good scentedness of Christ, the anointed, in them that are saved. And in them that perish, colon, look, to the one we are a senate of death, unto death. And to the other a savor or sweet smelling fragrance of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? So it lets us know how we are viewed. And so that's the reason why the statement was made, okay, the Christians are gone, now we can have fun. Because our presence was like, it's like a sentence. It's like a fragrance of death. It's a foul odor. We stink to them. So the same way they stink to us, we stink to them. Thank you for helping me find that. And so, you know, these things are just vitally important for us to understand now. And back to Matthew 10, we're going to have to be wise, y'all, in approaching these things in the days to come. I'm even considering blocking these people where they can't even contact me. I'm serious about this thing. Because that event that happened, that was very serious. And I really saw the mindset of this cousin of mine to try to pull it off. To do that. It spoke volumes about a character to do that. And I was like, this is somebody I don't need to be around. I don't need my family to be around. I don't need my kids to be around. Don't come talk about cuz, hang out. Nah. Y'all keep an eye on this, folks. This foe is an adversary. This person does not mean us well. And the poor little cousin that they were actually holding the event for, she was so upset because she wanted this side of the family, you know, to come. And she was like, I really wanted, you know, my family to come. I think that there's something going on with her heart where she may be also someone who will break from her own parents. Her own parent, you know. Parent and grandparent. She may break from them. She may be the very one that'll do it. Because when you look at that side of the family, there are generations of them that think the same way, because they all think like our grandparents think. They would break away from it. And so that friction is always there. You don't feel family love when you come around. Those folks are blood relatives, but they're strangers to me. I don't know those people. Yeah. So here's the thing, and then I'm gonna close here. Verse 37. Here's why. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He's saying if you continue to go after that, it's because you love that more than you do me. I cut it loose. That's what Christ is saying. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Y'all heard me say it all the time, and I mean exactly what I say. I'm like, no one comes between my relationship with y'all. My grandkids, my children, wife, they will not exist in my life if they cause issues between me and my God. I am bound to nobody but y'all. So we ain't on the same page. Holla. Love my kids. Love my grandkids. Love my wife. Love my family. But come between me and my God and watch what happens. Holla. Bye. That sword gonna cut us in half. I'm gonna keep it moving. I'll say this and then I'll get ready to close. I remember mom called me one time and she was like, you come by and see your mom. And she was like, you don't come by and see your mom and stuff like that. She kind of got a little pity party and stuff like that. And I told her, I said, Mom, I said, look, I said, you raised your son and you did a wonderful job. You raised me to be the man that I am, and you introduced me to my God. I said, now let me serve him. You did a good job. I must be about my father's business. And if I don't contact you every day, don't take it that I don't love you. Understand that there is something that I love more than you now. She got it. Okay, I understand. There's something more important than you, Mom. I got to talk with him every day. Christ did the same thing. Mary and Joseph was like, where were you? We've been looking all over for you. He said, don't y'all know I must be by my father's business? I ain't think about y'all going on. He's about 13. 12. Scripture say he became obedient to them. He's like, okay, let me go ahead and go with y'all. You don't come back on the scene until he's 30. But he was focused. So I want to encourage you to love your God and his son so much to the point to where you stay focused by all means necessary and don't allow anything to come between that love. You may lose some loved ones along the way. To God be the glory. All right, that's all I said. That's all I got. I'm through. I'm finished. Any questions, comments? We good? All right. Father, y'all, we just bless your name. We thank you for just bringing us into another facet of understanding. We know that the bottom line is to be pleasing to you. And in doing so, we may have to make necessary changes and separate from people who refuse to confess you before men. And y'all, we just bless you for giving us the courage and understanding enough to carry it out according to your divine purpose. We thank you for your son and how he's taught us to follow you. In his name we do pray. Amen.